Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Tonight is the 26th of February, and we are in our Halacha Shir. And because it is the week before Purim, we have two sessions before Purim. We will try to do as many of the Halachas of Purim as we can. So we are going to start in Simen Tafresh Pehe, which is on page 299. In most editions, it is 299. That's right. It's the last Simen of Hilchos Chanukah. It says Hilchos Chanukah at the top, but if you look at the title of the Simen, it's Seder Dalet Parshios, which is the four Parshios we're in right now, Shkalim, Zohar, Parah, and Chodesh. The next page starts officially Hilchos Purim, or Megillah. So over here, before we turn to Hilchos Megillah, I'd like to do the last Se'if in Tafresh Pehe, which is Se'if Zayin, which is about Parsha Zohar. So we can get that share. Everybody have it? Page 299?
Which you just went back to 298, right?
Well, I just mentioned the title. But no, stay on 299. Okay. The third line. See where it says Zayin on the third line? Okay. Yesh Orem, some say, Sheparsha Zachar or Parsha Spara Aduma Chayavim Likros Amida Oraisa. Some say that Parsha Zachar and Parsha Spara, you are obligated to read it Mida Oraisa from the Torah. Unlike the other two, Shkalim and Chodesh, which are only Durabbanan. Most of the time, Kriyas HaTorah is only Durabbanan. In fact, all the time, Kriyas HaTorah is only Durabbanan. Always. Every Shabbos, every Monday and Thursday, it's always Durabbanan. But Parsha Zachar and Parsha Spara, some say, are Daraisa. Lefika, we'll talk about that in a minute. Lefika, therefore, b'nei ha-yishuvim, those who live out in the sticks, she'en lahem minyan, they don't have a minyan where they live, so normally on Shabbos they don't have Kriyas HaTorah because they don't have a minyan. Tzrichim lavo lemakom she'esh minyan b'shabbasas halal. They have to come to a place where there is a minyan on these Shabbasas, k'dei lishmoa parshios elu she'hem mida araisa, in order to hear these parshios, Zachar and Para, which are mida araisa. So that's what the Mechaber says. Hagah, the Rama adds, V'im I efshar lahem lavo, but if they can't come to a place where there's a minyan, mikol makom yizaru likrosam v'niginasam uvetaimam. They should at least be careful to read them from a chumash with their trup. To read them out of a chumash with the proper trup. Read it as if you're laning it from the chumash, if you can't come to shul. So, Baruch Hashem, we live in a place where there's a minyan. But if a person can't come to shul, then this could be relevant. What should they do? They should at least take out a chumash and read Parsha Zachar and Parsha Parah from the chumash itself. Now, before we get into the specifics of Parsha Zachar being from the Torah, just to bring up Terry's point, Parsha Parah, is that from the Torah or not? Many poskim disagree with what the Shulchan Aruch writes, and say that Parshas Parah is not from the Torah. In fact, the Vilna Gaon goes so far as to say that this is a mistake. It was a printing error, and it should not say Parshas Parah at all. Just Parshas Zachar. We don't.
Mistake.
Yeah, that when in the Shulchan Aruch, when it was written, originally written, when originally somehow when it gets spread around, this got added in or something. The minhag that seems to be to treat Parshas Parah as if it was the Rabbanan. We don't have all the chumras that we have with Parshas Zachar on Parshas Parah.
Because you have extra readings.
Okay, extra readings I want to talk about. Yeah, I want to talk about extra readings. But Parshas Zachar, we make an announcement beforehand that everybody should have in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did to us and the mitzvah to wipe them out. We make an announcement, we have everybody listen very carefully, the Baal Kriya reads it very carefully, you have that word Zecher Amalek, which we're so careful to read it again as Zecher Amalek, just in case we have it wrong, it's not Zecher, it's Zecher, so we read that word twice, or the Pasuk twice, so that's all Parshas Zachar. Parshas Parah doesn't seem to get the same weight, so it doesn't seem that it's treated in the Minhag as if it's Daraisa. Now, Parshas Zachar, since everybody agrees, or most possibly agree, that's Daraisa. So then, So as we said, you have to make sure to come to Shul and hear Parshas Zohar read from the Torah. If you can't come to Shul, at least read it from a Chumash. So what about women? Do women need to hear Parshas Zohar? So the answer is women do need to hear Parshas Zohar. Therefore, if they can come to Shul, they should come to Shul. If they can't, then they should read it from a Chumash. Just like a person who lives in the sticks can't come to Shul, should read it from a Chumash. So a woman who...
Shouldn't they read the parsha every week? They could.
It's a nice thing. That's a little different. That has a little... The page on that one's a little different. Those are all the same. Yeah, those are the same. It's a different color. It's a nice thing for them to read it, but they don't have to. The parsha Zohar, they should read it from a Chumash if they can't come to Shul. So a woman who has small children can't come to Shul. So she should read it. She should read it from a Chumash at home. That's what she should do. Now, the whole concept of a second reading of Parsha Zohar, which I did ask about before we started in here, because I didn't know if in this community they generally have a second reading, and I found out, as you mentioned, that they do.
Second and a third one.
That's a relatively new thing. In Europe, they didn't know of such things. Nobody had a second reading of Parshas Zohar. Women couldn't come to Shul. They read it themselves at home. This is a new idea, a new concept, that they have a second reading of Parshas Zohar, a third reading of Parshas Zohar. It's become very popular to do it in many communities.
That's because half the people don't come to the Torah reading anyway, so you have to do it.
Okay. Well, you know, so they should come before the Torah reading. Saying, you know, but there are people who can't come anyway. So they should. The question is, what is gained by a second reading? That's not so simple. You see, a second reading, what is the advantage of reading a second time, Parsha Zohar? The obligation is to read it in shul with a minyan. So having a second reading where there's no minyan is not necessarily much better than reading it out of a chumash.
You could have 10 men.
But you don't always. Saying the second readings that people have are usually for women. So if there is no minyan in shul, it may be slightly better because at least it's a sefer Torah, not a printed chumash. So okay, it's out of a sefer Torah, but it's not necessarily that much better because l'maisa, it's not kriyas haTorah. Because there's no minyan.
But if there's a minyan there,
as
good as the first one?
I'm not sure. Because the tzibur was yotzei already. Let's say...
If
the 10 people who are there did not hear Parsha Zohar before, then maybe. That's also not so simple. You see, because Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv on the tzibur. It's not a chiyuv on the individual. It's a chiyuv on the tzibur. Once the tzibur has been yotzei, so it's not so simple to have a second kriya. Now, if there's a minion that didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah, then you're probably right. But then So if there's a minion that didn't hear Parshas Zohar, then you're probably right that would be they would still have a chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore that second reading Parshas Zohar may be just as good as the first one. But if you don't have a minion, or even if you have a minion, but that minion already heard Parshas Zohar, then it's not so simple that it's much better. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's always good to hear Parshas Zohar, you know, and if people want to, you know, to come to the second one, they're careful to come to it, you know. But really, a person should try to come to the first one, and if they can't, let's say, as I said, a woman who has small children, so read it out of a chumash. It's not, that's what the Ramah himself says.
It's just as well to read it in the chumash as come for the second one.
I'm not sure that it's much better. That's the thing. I'm not sure that it's that much better to do it, to come to a second reading when there's no minyan that hasn't heard Parshas Zohar already.
Second reading of the Megillah.
Okay, that's separate. We'll get to that when we get to Megillah. Parshas Zohar is different. Okay, so that's with Parshas Zohar. So as I said, you know, and I think that's why in Europe they didn't have second readings of Parshas Zohar, because what was the point? The tzibur was yotzei already. They didn't have a minyan of people who didn't hear. You know, the shtetl everybody heard already. Who didn't hear it? The women with small children didn't hear it. So reading it again doesn't help. So they read it on the Chumash. So that's the Zechira of Parsha Zohar. Now there is also, the poskim do say, or some say, one could be Yod say Parsha Zohar. Now Parsha Zohar is the end of Parshas Kisete. Zohar Eis HaShe'asa L'cha Amalek Baderach B'Zeis HaMitzrayim. Some say you can be Yod say the chiyuv of Parshas Zachar with the end of Parshas Beshalach, which is the actual milchama that they had with Amalek. Vayavo Amalek vayilachem em Yisrael b'yirfidim. That, the end of Parshas Beshalach. We read that on Purim morning. That's the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning. So some say that if they can't, if a person can't come to Parshas Zachar in Shul, then they should try to come to Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning in Shul. You know, that would also be a way to be yotzei. Not everybody agrees that that would work, because it doesn't say there's Zachar, but it does say the milchama over there, so you do remember what happened because you're reading about what happened. So some say that that would work also. That's another Eitzah for someone who can't come for Parsha Zachar. But it doesn't usually help for the women, because the same reason why the women with small children can't come to Parsha Zachar, they can't come to Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning either. So it doesn't usually solve the problem.
It's the once a year?
The chiyuv seems to be once a year. And the reason why they set it up as the Shabbos before Purim is because Haman is from Amalek, so that's why they set it up then. Theoretically, it doesn't have to be then. Which is why, theoretically, Parshas Kiseitse, right, if the Valkyria has in mind to be mostly the person, Parshas Kiseitse, theoretically that would also work out when you get to Zachar and Parshas Kiseitse. Theoretically.
You couldn't just do that anyway?
What?
I guess so.
If the Valkyria has that in mind, you have in mind to be Yotze. I guess that would work also.
How far does that concept work with the Tzibur? Like, you know, for the Tzibur in Atlanta, the majority of the people come to Shul, and the ones that don't, they can't, if they missed it or whatever. You know, like in Europe, they wouldn't be having a second davening. And I'm wondering for the Tzibur of the Jewish people, if there's such a concept, since like in Europe, for instance, I ended up taking it to a different scale.
No, what I mean to say is in Europe, they didn't have a minyan. You know, how many people lived in the shtetl? You know, how many families were in the shtetl? You know, a big shtetl was 100 families.
Right.
So, you know, they all came to shul. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a minyan who didn't come to shul, and whoever couldn't come the first time couldn't come the second time either.
Right.
So, you know.
But for wives, and the concept is that the husbands could then go watch the kids, and they'll ask you to come like that, but not with the minyan.
Yeah, but there's no minyan. So then there's no, as I was saying, so they didn't do it then.
And there's no concept, I'm just exploring all avenues. If you had only three women, they said they could do a Birkanama's own, you know, Mizuman type situation. This issue should involve Kriya as a man, so that would not work. And I'm only asking their concept
of
minyan of women.
Right, so there is a concept of a Mizuman for women with three women,
right,
because Zimun is not a Davar Shebe Kedusha. Zimun is, if you have three people, to be Mevarach Hashem. It's a bracha to Hashem. But a Davar Shebe Kedusha, you need to have a minyan of men. Otherwise, you can't have a Davar Shebe Kedusha. So Kriyas HaTorah is a Davar Shebe Kedusha. So you have to have a minyan of men to be Yotzei the true. Now, there's nothing wrong reading out of a Sefer Torah anytime. But to be Yotzei the inyan of Kriyas HaTorah, you have to have a minyan of men. So that's what I'm saying. I don't want to cast aspersions on something which seems to have caught on, it's not a bad thing people do. But I'm just pointing out to you that if it was really a big thing, they would have done it in Europe already. Plenty of women couldn't come to shul in Europe also because they had small children. That hasn't changed. So what they would have done is in the afternoon have something for the women so that they could, you know, while the men are home watching. But they didn't do it. So that leads me to believe that it's not necessarily that much of an advantage.
Did they do that in Columbus?
For you? They did do it in Columbus. They did it in Baltimore. In Neri Yisrael they did it. But it was like a new thing. It was a new thing. And some of the older Rebbeim commented to me that, I once asked one of my Rebbeim about it, and he commented to me, like, I don't understand, it's a new thing. Like, what, you know, it was good enough, you know, it was good enough 50 years ago they didn't do it. Well, how come all of a sudden, you know, it was one of those things. But it's caught on. It's caught on, so.
I saw a few times that in some yeshiva in Israel, they have something like four Sifra Torah and nine Bar Korah. And always they change and said it again and again and again and again. Because as a Sardin, the Sifra Torah is a little bit different.
They do
the Agaya, Ashkenazi.
Yeah, they do the dialect differently. Ashkenazi, Sfari, Temani, Yemeni, the whole thing.
Yes, and even in Sfadi, you have Yerushalmi and Sfadi.
Yeah, I know they do.
Yeah, I'm saying Ashkenazi, I think.
Ashkenazi is only one Nigun. But there's Hasidic Nigun, isn't there?
Yeah, again, I question the whole world.
So
in Europe, they didn't know from Yemenite readers. They do it. None of these things are bad. So it's good people are careful with mitzvahs. None of this is bad. I'm just saying I don't know how much effort to expend on all of this. That's what I'm saying. Okay. The halachos of Megillah, which starts on the next page, it starts with Tainus Esther, and then you have Megillah itself. What I'd like to do tonight is to skip Megillah and do Shalach Manos, Matanos Lavionim, and the Suda, get those halachos straight, and then on Wednesday night, do Kriyas HaMegillah. So that's what I'd like to, as much as we can do, I don't know how much we'll get done. So, if you'll please skip ahead to page 319, which is Tav Reish Tzadi Dalid, which is Din Ma'us Purim Laniyim, which is the halachos of Matanos Lavionim. Now, as you know, on Purim you have Purim Day, you have four mitzvahs. You have the Megillah itself, which you also have at night, and then you have three other mitzvahs besides Megillah, and that is Matanos Lavionim. You have the Seuda, and you have Mishloach Manos. Those three are the other mitzvahs of the day. So here we have Din Ma'us Purim Laniyim. So Aleph. Everybody is obligated to give at least two gifts to two poor people, meaning one per poor person. One to one, one to the other. That's the obligation. Hagah and the Rama add, Yesh omrim sheyesh litein kodem purim ma. Okay, wait, hold on. Before we do this is going to be machzis hashekel. So, one, you have to give two gifts to two poor people, one to one, one to each one. That's matanos lavionim. Now, men are chayev in this, and women are chayavos in this. So this is where you have to be more careful. This is the place to expend more effort. Women are also chayavos in matanos lavionim. So they can give money themselves. They can write a check themselves. If a woman doesn't do it, and a man and her husband does it, so some say that perhaps she's yotze because he's doing it on behalf of both of them. But really, it would be better if she also gave. So now she can give the money to her husband to give to the person who's collecting the matanos lavionim. She doesn't actually have to put it in hand to the person who's collecting, but she should have money or a check herself that she is giving for matanos lavionim. Also, anybody who has older children over bar or bas mitzvah, they also need to be involved in the mitzvah of matanos lavionim. Each of them should give their own matanos lavionim from their money. You can't be yotzei matanos lavionim with meiser money. You have to give extra tzedakah money for matanos lavionim. You can't give money that you would have given to tzedakah anyway. It has to be extra. Now, the bare minimum of matanos lavionim is to give a pruta to one poor person and a pruta to another poor person. A pruta is a very, very small amount of money. Less than a nickel. Less than 5 cents. We used to say it was a penny, but today a penny may be less than a pruta. But it's very, very small, a pruta. So if you give a pruta to one poor person and a pruta to another poor person, you are yotze. So if you're going to give a lot of matanos lavionim, the extra money could be for meiser. So if you want to give $50 of matanos lavionim, so $49.90 could be meiser, while the other 10 cents isn't. Now, we generally, most of us, Baruch Hashem, don't come in contact directly with a poor person, a person who really needs the money. Although, sometimes we do, very often we don't know who the poor people are. So we generally give the money to people who are collecting the matanos lavionim, which is fine, which is good. So we give them, they act as our shliach, and we give them money, and they give it out. So if you give more than just a dollar or two, you can assume that the money will be distributed to several poor people, and therefore you are yotzei. So even though you're only giving it to one shliach, the Goldberger is collecting for this Karen YNY, whatever, I don't even know what that is, but you can assume if you're going to give him more than just a dollar or two, that fund will distribute it to more than one poor person, and therefore you will have been yotzei, your chiyuv of matanos lavionim.
And you should bring it in twice, $1, and after $1 it's enough.
No, you can give it in one shot. You can give it in one shot.
Yeah, time frames. This mitzvah was not time bound, obviously.
The mitzvah must be done on Purim Day.
So with
collecting now is just, we'll see in a minute, but collecting now is just a convenience. Mm-hmm. that since it has to be given out on Purim, so they collect it now, but they don't give it out until Purim.
But you fulfill your obligation by giving it now.
If they give it out on Purim,
right.
Which they tell you they are, so you can trust them. But if they would give it to Tzedakah now, then you would not be Yotzei. It has to be given on Purim.
And the idea is that the poor man can eat the food in the same day. So if you give it to him in the same day, like pasta that he need to...
Okay, so Matanas Davionim has to be something that the poor person can benefit from that day. So money, he can benefit from that day, or food, he can benefit from that day. But it can't be something that he can't benefit from there. So to give him, let's say, a bond that hasn't matured, that he can't, or a CD, if you give him a CD, he can't take the money out for a few months, you would not be Yotzei Matanas Davionim. It has to be something that he can benefit from right away, not something that he needs to wait to benefit from. Because the main purpose of Matanas Davionim is for the poor person to spend it on Purim, for his Purim needs. That is the main, like you're saying. So it should be something that he can benefit from. But money he can't, but money he can spend that day. That's fine.
Does he have to spend it on Purim needs?
He does not, as we'll see. A poor person is allowed to spend it on whatever he wants, but he has the right and the ability to spend it on Purim. Okay, now there's another mitzvah, which is not a mitzvah, it's not even a mitzvah, it's a minhag, which is machatzis hashekel. So, the Rama adds Haggah. Yesh omrim shiyesh litin kodem purim machatzis min hamatbeah hakavua ba'oso makom. Some say that before Purim, you should give half of the coin that is set in that place. In other words, whatever the currency is. So for us, it's a dollar. Half of a dollar is 50 cents. To give the half dollar. Uba'oso is mine, and for that time. Zecher l'machatzis ha-shekel shal yunostim ba'adar. It's a remembrance for the machatzis ha-shekel that they gave in Chodesh Adar. U'me'achar shegimol pa'amim kasuv teruma v'parsha. Since it says teruma three times in the parsha of machatzis ha-shekel, yesh litein gimel, therefore you should give three machatzis ha-shekels. So, it's a funny thing. Even though they only gave one machatzis ha-shekel, and in fact the Torah says you can't give more or less. You have to only give a half. But since we're only doing it as a remembrance, and in the parsha it says it three times, therefore the zecher is we give three half of whatever our currency is. Now, our currency may be as big as a shekel or less than a shekel. We're not even giving half a shekel. We're giving half a dollar, or half a ruble, or half a yen, or half whatever it is, or half whatever the currency is where you live. So, but that's, it's a zecher. It's a remembrance for what they did. V'yesh litno b'leil Purim. You should give it the night of Purim, kodem shemispal lemincha, before they daven mincha. So in other words, on a normal year, this year it won't work out, on a normal year, you would give it on Tainus Esther in the afternoon before they'd have a mincha, because that's the day before Purim. That night, you're going to be laying the Megillah. In years when Purim is Motzai Shabbos, like this year, and Tainus Esther, therefore, is Thursday, they already put out the bowls, I believe, on Tainus Esther on Thursday, if I remember correctly, the last time that's what they did. They put it out already, even though it's really a few days before Purim, but since you can't give it on Shabbos, so that's when they put it out. That is the minig in all of these countries. You should give three half large coins in these countries. Because there is no coin that has the name half except for this coin. In other words, giving a nickel because it's half of a dime would not be acceptable because nobody calls a nickel half. Because a dime isn't chashuv enough, isn't important enough for a nickel to be called half of something, even though it happens to be half a dime. But a half dollar is called a half dollar because a dollar is the important...
2/4, you say.
Yeah. Because a dollar is the important currency, so we would call 50 cents half a dollar. So you should give half of what is considered to be the main coin. Uvabedinos Ostreich gitnu gimel chatzi viner. He's giving you examples. And in that country, you should give three half of these, that type of coin, viners, whatever that is, shenikru gamkein machatzis, because they're called a half. V'chein l'chol medina medina, also for every country, you give half of whatever the main coin is. Ve'en chayev litno rak mishehu mi ben chaf ulam maila. Who has to give a machatzis a shekel? So the first opinion is, only someone who is 20 and up. V'yeshom, because that's what they did in the Midbar. In the Midbar, they only gave from 20 and up. Not 13 and up, but 20 and up. V'yeshomim, some say, shenosnim machatzis ha-shekel litzdakav milvad gimel machatzis elu. Some say you should give an additional half shekel to tzedakah besides these three half coins. Ve'enogin came, that's not the minhag. Now, even though the Mechaber says 20 and up for machatzis ha-shekel, the Mishnah Berurah says that others disagree and say 13 and up. And not only that, but many people have the minhag to give for their small boys as well. So that to give the machatzis ha-shekel on behalf of the boys under bar mitzvah as well. And even some of them, and even the pregnant women, will give on behalf of the fetus. Now, whether women or girls should do it or have to do it is not really discussed. It's only a zecher. It's not really discussed over here. I once saw mentioned in a halacha journal that women should do it or could do it, but I spoke to one of my rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael, and he told me that that women don't do it because in the midbar women didn't do it. It was just men. It was men, and the women didn't give machatzis ha-shekel. So there certainly is no obligation for women to do it. You want to do it for the women in your family, that's fine, but there's no obligation. It's just tzedakah. That's all it is. So there's no reason why not. Yeah.
Rabbi, what do we do proactively besides the Dvar Torah about Safek and Amalek, you know, to forget about Amalek? What do we do proactively to erase the memory of Amalek? What's a proactive...
We try to bring Mashiach.
So, and our davening is considered proactive, but there's no
we
more...
We can't do anything more than that.
Right, so there's nothing else that's prescribed for us to
do. No, we bang when we say Amalek.
Uh-huh, gotcha, okay.
Now, the way Machatzis HaShekel is done, the way it has evolved, is that since not everybody has half dollars, so what they do is they put half dollars in the bowl, and what you do is you give money, preferably $1.50, and when you do that, you put $1.50 in the bowl, then you use that to purchase the three half dollars in the bowl, and you pick them up to make a kinyan, an acquisition. Now those three half dollars are yours, and then you put that back in the bowl, and there's you've given your machatzis ha-shekel. So that's the way to do it. And if you're doing it for several people in your family, so you can do that several times. It's not such a simple thing to do in most cases of tzedakah. You're not allowed to exchange tzedakah for non-tzedakah, but here that is the way it's done in the first place. The original plan was for the machatzis ha-shekel to be done that way, in order to facilitate everybody should be able to get their hands on three half dollars. So that's what they generally do. So that's what you do. You put your $1.50 in, pick it up, put it down, and let the next guy do it. If you're going to do it for your children who are under 13, then once you start, you shouldn't stop. And once you start 1 year, then next year you should do it again. Don't start 1 year and the next year not do it. Once you do it, then it's forever. Beis. Ein mishanim mos purim litzdaka acheres. You don't change money of Purim to other tzedakah. So once money is designated as being matanas tavyonim, it should not be switched to a different tzedakah. Hagav edavka hagabayim. That's only those who collect the money. This was asked before. Aval ha'ani yachol asas bo mashiyirta. But the poor person is allowed to do with the money whatever he chooses. Once he gets it, it's his money. He can do with it whatever he wants. Gimel in medak the kimbemos Purim. We're not so exacting with the money of Purim. Meaning elakomi shaposhet yado litol. Anybody who sticks out their hand to take money, nosimlo, we give to him. We don't start questioning the person and finding out their credentials where normally we do. Normally we want to make sure the person is legitimate. On Purim, anybody who asks for money, we give. Umakom shenagu litain af leino yehudi nosim. If you live in a place where the minig is to give matanos tavionim even to non-Jews, then you can give even to non-Jews if that's the minig. But the Mishnah Berurah says if the minig in your place is not to give to non-Jews, then you should not, because people may think that you're being yotzei the mitzvah of matanos tavionim with non-Jews. So if the minig is not to, then you should not. But if the minig is, then you could do that too. Dalid. Let's say you live in a place where there are no poor people. Halavai, right? Let's say there are no poor people at all. Yachol la'akiv mos Purim shelo la'atzmo. Then you could hold on to the money of Purim for no stam b'makom sheyirtza, and then give them to any tzedakah that you wish. So if you can't find a poor person, or someone collecting for a poor person on Purim, then you're allowed to hold on to the money. But unfortunately, we do not live in such a situation. There are plenty of poor people that need the money, and plenty of people collecting for those poor people. Okay, any questions on either Matana Sargon or Matana Shekel before we move on to the Su'uda and Shalach Manos? Okay, let's go on. Next one. Top of the next page. Hagah. Mitzvah lahabos besudas Purim. It is a mitzvah to increase, to have a lot of the Su'uda of Purim. Uvis Su'uda achas yotzim. You are yotzim with one Su'uda. And you might have thought that Purim is like Shabbos, that you have to have three Su'udas, or like Yom Tov, you have to have two Su'udas. But no. You only need one Su'uda, and it is a mitzvah to have a nice big meal. Aleph. Su'udas Purim sha'asa balayla lo yotzim dechavaso. If you make your Su'udas Purim the night of Purim, meaning the night this year will be on Matzai Shabbos, you are not Yotze. You have to have it on the day of Purim, not the night of Purim. Hagah, but the Ramah adds, when we call Makom, Gam Balayla Yismach V'yarbek Tzas B'Su'uda. But even the night of Purim, it is a mitzvah to be happy and to have more than you would normally have. Have something special the night of Purim as well. So not necessarily to have a full course meal that you would for the Su'uda of Purim that you're going to have the next day, but the night of Purim, you should have something extra. The shul is having something this year. They're combining it with the Pirchei Lava Malka. They're having some kind of celebration. I'm not sure what they're serving, but that would be, of course, you know, if they're having a band, there's dancing, etc. So that's being happy, and to have something extra, it is appropriate to have good food the night of Purim also. Beis, here's the famous line. The line everybody's all been waiting for. Chayiv inish libsume bepuria. A person is required, is obligated, to become inebriated on Purim. Ad lo yada bein oror haman levarach Mordechai, until he does not know the difference between the curse of Haman and the blessing of Mordechai. That is the statement in the Gemara, which is paskin in halacha. So the question is, of course, what does that mean? Everybody wants to know, what does that mean? So look at the Ramah, Hagah. Some say, now the simple meaning is, let's just first take a sentence. What's the simple meaning? You have to get drunk to the point that you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. That's the simple meaning. That's pretty drunk. The Rama says, some say, you don't have to get so drunk. That's not what it means. Rather, you should drink more than you normally drink. And then you'll fall asleep. Once you're asleep, you don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So that's what some say it means. Whether you do drink a lot, whether you drink a little, the main thing is your intention has to be for Shamayim. So it's there are different opinions with what it means here with the drinking. But either way, you have to have kavana for Shamayim. Don't drink extra for your own fun, but rather for Hashem. And don't not drink because you have something against drinking. You don't not drink because, again, it's for Hashem, because you feel that you will serve Hashem better by drinking less. But it has to be that your intention is for Hashem. Either way, you drink a lot or drink a little, not because of an attitude problem or not because of a drinking problem. It's got to be because he's doing it because Hashem is what, this is the way this person feels that he will serve Hashem better, either with more or with less. And everybody knows their limits. Everybody knows what they, how they will praise Hashem more and better. Now,
God forbid you're an alcoholic. How do you handle this mitzvah?
Yeah. So if you're an alcoholic, you should stay away.
Yeah.
If a person has a drinking problem. So then you should stay with me. Yeah, for sure.
That question. This idea of falling asleep. I understand you extend a meal beyond Purim if you start on Purim, but I would think if you're falling asleep after Purim's over, I don't know how that would apply. How do the rabbis say it does apply? It's obviously kind of an application. Usually they have the feast around 5 o'clock and you drink a lot and maybe finish 8:30, 9 o'clock, maybe, whatever.
Yeah.
You fall asleep after that.
I have the same question. The other question I have is that in all the years I've been drunk, I've never felt tired at that time. It's only much later. And I never fall asleep. Even Purim on a Friday morning. Even Purim on a Friday. So we eat the Su'udah on a Friday morning. So I've gotten drunk. And then, and then we finish the Su'udah already by, 12 or whatever it is, or 1 o'clock. And there's a few hours till Shabbos. It's still Purim. And even so, it's hard to fall asleep. I'm so, from the drinking. So I don't,
My son called me today and told me that he learned in Israel that the Ben Ishchai says they're supposed to have 15 different foods for, you know, for Sfardim. I'm wondering if this, if you've heard anything for Ashkenazi, because the Suda is supposed to be like something like you're not, you know, like...
I don't know. I haven't seen that number.
15 different types.
I haven't seen the number. My wife's family has the minug on Tu B'Shvat to have a 15 fruit salad. Because it's the 15th of the month. The 15th of the month.
Uh-huh.
So 15 fruit salad.
Okay.
But I never heard of it going before. Maybe because Yodalat has, I don't know. I'm not sure. Now, the business with the drinking is there are various other explanations said about this business of not understanding this in Aruch Haman Baruch Mordechai. You've probably heard the famous one that Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai are the same gematria. Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai are the same gematria. And if a person gets drunk enough that they can't add up the numbers, then that's good enough that they were Yotzei. So they don't have to be Amish stone drunk, just enough that they're having trouble with gematrias. Again, you know, I haven't found getting drunk.
You don't have to drink a lot of alcohol for that.
That's it.
So I don't know. Right. The main thing seems to be that you have to, the purpose of the getting drunk is to praise Hashem. The Yad Ephraim says that the Aruch Haman Baruch Mordechai is that there's one bracha to Hashem because he knocked down Haman. There's another bracha that he raised up Mordechai. And the second is greater than the first. So the assumption is that you're already praising Hashem for these two things before you start to drink. And as you're drinking, you're praising Hashem even more and more until the point where these two things, you're thanking Hashem so much for these two things that they're indistinguishable. Your praise for both are equal. Even though, really, the Baruch Mordechai should be greater praise than the Aruch Haman, you're blessing Hashem for both equally, and now you're Yotzei the Chiyuv. So the main thing is it should be praising Hashem. I will tell you personally, I do get drunk every Purim, except for the year that I had hepatitis that year for the doctors in the room. I had it right after Sukkot, and the doctor told me that that, you know, 6 months no alcohol, only grape juice, and so the 6 months ended right before Pesach. So he told me you can have Arba Kosos on Pesach, but you cannot drink on Purim. And I begged him, I'll switch. No drinking on Purim, but you're allowed to have it on Pesach. So anyway, I do get drunk every year, and you know, never to the point of where, you know, I don't know what's going on. But for me personally, I find that it only aids in the simcha, it only aids in the dancing and the praising of Hashem and the Divrei Torah, etc. But everybody has to know themselves, and you know, I definitely discourage young boys from drinking. Women, for sure, I discourage from drinking, but the young boys are discouraged from drinking. The, you know, high school boys, I think, are too young to do it properly, so I definitely discourage them. But what I do find is that when people, those who don't like the drinking, there's two reasons not to like the drinking. The reason not to like the drinking is that the person doesn't act properly. So chas v'shalom, a person gets drunk and they use foul language or they do things that are improper. So that's a person that's not appropriate and they should not be getting drunk because they're obviously not handling it properly. A person gets drunk and gets sick and unfortunately throws up. He didn't do a bad thing. It may be disgusting, but he didn't do a bad thing. He was trying to do the mitzvah, and unfortunately, he couldn't hold it. I'm saying, you know, that's not what's bad about drinking. That's maybe what people don't like, but that's not what's bad about it. So when a person says, "I don't like the drinking because sometimes because people throw up," if you have 100 people getting drunk, of course, 2 people are going to throw up. That happens. You know, that's unfortunately that's a byproduct. But I don't think that is a valid reason to speak out against drinking. The valid reason is alcoholism, or because the person is acting in an improper fashion. I have also found that people who are coming from a background where they have seen what the world is like when they get drunk, and they compare it to Jews getting drunk on Purim, and they're astounded. It's a big Kiddush Hashem that people get drunk and all they do is they sing and they dance and they say Divrei Torah. And that's compared to what goes on in the world out there. That's a special thing. Okay. Now, ve'elis anos b'Purim, you're not allowed to fast on Purim. That's usher. Novai tanis chalom, unless it is a tanis chalom, which is a special type of fast, which we generally don't do today. That's a special halacha. And he says, ayin le'el sem tafkuf samches v'sem tafkuf ayin. Yeshenagu Lubosh Bigdei Shabbos V'Yom Tov B'Purim. Some wear clothing of Shabbos and Yom Tov on Purim. V'chein Nachon, that is the proper thing to do. Now, he's not talking about dressing up. Dressing up is a separate issue, which he talks about later. But when you're not dressed up, so what should you wear? You should wear Shabbos clothes. That is the appropriate thing to wear on Purim. V'noagim laso sudas Purim la'achar mincha. The mitzvah is to do the Suda Purim after mincha, because you can't daven when you're drunk. Even drunk a little bit. Even if you've only drunk a revius of wine, you can't daven until it wears off a little bit. So if you're going to have your Suda, you're not going to be able to daven mincha. So you should daven mincha before the Suda. V'arvis yispalu b'layla, and you daven ma'ariv later at night. U'mispalu mincha. You daven mincha earlier in the day. The bulk of the suda has to be during the day before shkia. Now, like some people do, they start right before nighttime. And then the main suda ends up being at night. That's not appropriate. The main suda needs to be during the day. Purim b'yom shishi, when Purim was out on Friday, yasu hasuda b'shachris, then the suda should be done in the morning, mishum kavod Shabbos, because of the kavod of Shabbos, you shouldn't eat so late in the day. U'misha rotza la'asos atamid b'shachris, if you always want to do it in the morning, even this year, it's a Sunday. If you want to do your sudas Purim in the morning, harashos b'yodo, you're allowed to do that. It doesn't have to be in the afternoon. If you want to do it in the morning, that's also fine. Yesh omrim sheyesh lechol maichol zar'onim b'purim, some say that you should eat seeds on Purim. Zecher lezaronim shachal Daniel v'chaver of the Bavel. It's a remembrance for the seeds that Daniel and his friends Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah ate in Bavel because they couldn't get kosher food. So they only ate seeds in Bavel. And Esther also ate seeds when she was in the king's palace because she couldn't get kosher food. That, by the way, I believe is where the minna comes from Humantashen to be mun. Mun Humantashen, which I personally dislike. My father loves them, but obviously I think that's where the minig is from, because they're onim. It's a minig to eat seeds on Purim, so I think that's where it comes from.
Where does the minig start to say the afternoon?
What?
Where is the minig to start this late in the afternoon?
I think just because there's too much going on, because you have to give out your mashloch manos and the megillah. And I think it's just a lot going on. Purim's a packed day, so I think you could do it in the morning.
You could do it anytime.
Yeah. Yeah, just if it's in the afternoon, make sure you have mincha first. Let's just finish up because we have to go to Ma'ariv. Tov lasok ma'at b'Torah kodem shiyas la'suda. It's good to be involved in Torah a little bit before the Suda. V'smach l'davar, and a remembrance for this is la'yehudim ha'isa'ora v'simcha. It says that the Jews had light and happiness. V'darshina, we say in the drasha, ora zu Torah. Ora is Torah. So la'yehudim ha'isa'ora, they had Torah, v'simcha, and then they had happiness, which is the Suda. And that's a proper thing to do. You are obligated to have a little bit of mishta and simcha, of a party and happiness on both days, on the 14th and 15th, which means this year also on Monday. That is the minig. Not as 15th is not the same degree as the 14th, but there should be something on the 15th also. That's when you eat all your shalach maras that you got on the 14th. V'yesh omrim, dim, that was a joke. Dim hizik echad es chavero makas. If someone hurt his friend because he was happy on Purim and they were horsing around and one hurt the other, he does not have to pay for it because that is, everybody agrees to that, so to speak. It's like an unwritten agreement. Everybody has, well, Purim, there's going to be a little bit of a little bit of wildness that's going to happen. You are allowed to bench when you're a little bit drunk. That's the other caveat. If a person is going to get drunk, they must make sure not to be mevatel any mitzvah. You must make sure to make brachos properly. You must make sure to bench. And you must make sure to daven ma'ariv, and you can't daven ma'ariv until the wine has already worn off. So you just have to make sure that you do not miss the mitzvahs. If you're afraid of that, then getting drunk would be no problem.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.